Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Man, did that feel good. Brewers get a doubleheader sweep over the Reds. They're a season high 23 games above 500. They've won four in a row. Yes, they won the nightcap 14-0. That tells you doesn't tell you the whole story. We can call it 8-0. Nonetheless, they won big in Game 2. The bullpen stood tall in Game 1. They've been fantastic over the last couple of games, and the starting pitching is suddenly starting to take shape. A lot of directions to go in here. I'm Dominic Cotroneo, 855-616-1620. If you want to join us here on the show, once again, that phone number is 855-616-1620. You can call in, you can text in. Let's talk about a double header. We are going until 10 o'clock tonight. Plenty of time to break all of this down for the crew. As, man, I look at the duality of man, if you will, of these two wins for the crew. And a reminder of every day leads into the next, and this is an exact microcosm of what that phrase means. Yesterday, the errands, the only two guys you needed, you know, with Savali and Ashby pitching great. Leading into the next meeting, all right, you gave a half day for Pyomps, and you gave a day for Devin, you gave a day for McGill, like you're able to save those guys at least for a day, knowing it was all hands on deck today, given you were using your 27th man as a starter. With all that being said, the Brewers, in a tie game, 4-4, in the fifth inning, decided to go to Brian Hudson. And that was the moment that Pat Murphy said, you know what? I don't know how the other game is going to go. I got to make sure I get these guys into the contest. Because let's say, for instance, Brian Hudson comes in, he goes, retires six outs and seven batters faced. Keeps the Brewers in the contest all the way leading up until the go-ahead home run in the bottom of the fifth inning, or a tying home run from India, and then they won the game in extras, obviously. But Hudson kept them in the game. What if you don't go to Hudson there, and he never gets into the contest if they're losing? Or if you go to Bryce Wilson, or if you go to Joe Ross, and Joe Ross pitched great today, and they lose a lead, and all of a sudden you don't use any of those guys, and you don't know what's going to happen in Game 2. Pat Murphy decided, I'm going to go for it. It's a tie game. I trust my bullpen over their bullpen. I'm only going to get to use my leverage arms once today. This is going to be the game I use them. And it paid off. Getting two innings out of Hudson. Getting an inning out of Pyomps. Getting an inning out of Koenig. Getting an inning out of McGill. And then finally, Devin Williams, one of his best innings of the season. Struck out De La Cruz. Steer popped out, Friedel walked, and then on the 10th pitch of the at-bat with Ty France, gets him the fly out to end the game, leaving the placed runner stranded. The Brewers win 5-4 in Game 1. So the bullpen was the story in Game 1, and then the starting pitching was the story in Game 2 with D.L. Hall. I'm fired up for what we saw from D.L. Hall today. This is the guy that I saw in spring training. And I had a brief conversation with DL yesterday before the departure to Cincinnati. Just sort of, hey, how much was the knee really bothering you in spring training? He said, you know, the first couple bullpens and the first couple lives, I didn't feel it at all. And the velo reflected that, to say the least. But then it started to pop up a little bit, and in April, he just wasn't himself. 92-93 is not who DL Hall is. What we saw tonight, 94-96, is the guy that he is as a starter. Seven shutout innings, going to a territory he's never gone before. He's never gotten out in the seventh inning in his professional career, ever. He's never gone past the sixth. So that was a massive hurdle for him. And to do it in shutout fashion on a hot night at Great American Ballpark, man, super impressive stuff from D.L. Hall today. So the bullpen was the story in Game 1. The starters, the story in Game 2 in D.L. Hall. And the offense in the middle of all this, too. We will talk about the offense, too, but we got to start with the pitching. And we got to start with what the bullpen did. And Colin Ray's built up some goodwill and that sort of thing. But before Craig Kishon joins us here on the program, scoreboard watching, as we do here at the beginning of the program, there's less than a month to go. Great news from Philadelphia. The Phillies fall to the Braves by a 7-2 final. So in record, the Brewers and Phillies have the same 79-56 record. Doesn't matter on August 30th, but they're in the hunt. The Dodgers, they're already out to a 2-1 lead in the bottom of the first inning in Clayton Kershaw versus Zach Gallen, a rematch of last year's NLDS. 2-1 Dodgers in the bottom of the first inning right now, keeping an eye on them. But right now, the Brewers and Phillies, same exact record. Of course, Phillies currently have the tiebreaker. All the Phillies need to do in 2 weeks is win one of those games, or in 3 weeks, I should say, is win one of those games at American Family Field, and they claim that tiebreaker as well. So we'll keep an eye on the scoreboard watching throughout the rest of this final month of the year. This is the exact way you want to start off your Labor Day weekend, to say the least. The Brewers doublehead sweep, outscoring the Braves 19-4 over the course of these two games. I can't wait. We're gonna break it up a little bit. We're gonna have game one conversation coming up with Craig Kishon for a couple of segments. Game two conversation coming up. We'll have two separate highlights as well, reacting to all of it. One clip of Pat Murphy too. Man, what a fun one today in Cincinnati for the Brewers to take both of these contests. Season high, 23 games above 500. They're now 41 games above 500. They're 90-49 against the Reds over the last, I think since 2018 is when that mark begins. 41 games above 500 against a divisional foe. Certainly useful. It's incredible what they've been able to do against the Reds and how much they're sick of seeing them, quite frankly, to this point in the year. The Brewers also, by the way, won the season series today. 8 games have been won by the Brewers to this point. Take a breather, come back with more after this. Brewers get the win in doubleheader fashion. Get to some of these texts as well. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
I'm going to Catronio. Not so much a quality start in game one, but it started a scoreless inning streak. The Brewers have now held the Braves scoreless since Colin Ray exited that game for the last 15 innings. The final 5 innings in game one, the final 6 innings in game one, and then the 9 innings in game two. So 15 straight scoreless innings against the Reds. Craig Kishon's going to join us in just a moment. Want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities, all to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. We'll be back with more with Craig in a moment, but first, game one. Brewers got off on the wrong foot in this one. Ellie De La Cruz scoring, Friedel beating out a double play ball. Colin Ray just wasn't quite himself. Tied the game quickly, though, with Willy Adames in the second, but then solo homer from Espinal, RBI single from De La Cruz on a two-strike, two-out pitch. They caught him stealing, which was a positive, but Colin Ray clearly wasn't himself. And if anyone's built up some goodwill to afford a little bit of a clunker by his standards, and mind you, it was a heat index of like a million today in Cincinnati, I think he's allowed to be human for a day. Today, 4-plus innings, he allowed 4 runs, also 2 homers on the day, including the game-tying shot against Jonathan India. And we talked about it in the first opening word, like Pat Murphy had to make the decision, all right, am I going to send him back out there? Am I going to decide to be done with 4 innings when I know I have a short bullpen and a doubleheader? Just try to get as much as he could out of him in the 5th inning, knowing the situation he was going to have. I had a feeling it was go until you get a base runner or you get into a leverage situation, and that's what, you know, a home run ultimately chased him from this game. Craig Kishon's with us now. Just talking about first here, we're going to start with game one here over this segment and the next, and then shifting the game two. So clicking back to game one here, Craig, I mean, Colin Ray, he wasn't sharp. It was hot a million foul balls against him, but as I said a moment ago, if anyone's got goodwill to have a little bit of a weird stretch here, it's Colin Ray, because the Brewers, simply put, I mean, he's been one of their best and most consistent starters of the year. It's been a weird past couple of starts, but nonetheless, I'm not worried about him in the slightest.
No, I'm not either. And to me, Dom, when somebody might be off is a starting pitcher, and somebody that is truly nothing but consistent, and that's just what his game is, I think I look at situations like this and say, if you're off and you've made it at least out to the fifth inning, maybe you didn't make it through five, but you still only gave up three earned runs. It's still a close game. You do whatever you can to keep your team in it. It doesn't matter how far into the game it is. If you're off, you're off. But you don't want to be off by, you know, 7, 8, 9 runs and have your team in a giant hole. Those are bad games. And Colin Ray really has, if he's had, you know, more than one or two this year, I'd be surprised. So I don't look at this game as being a bad game. He was just off a little bit, and the Brewers have depth. So the bullpen picked him up real nicely. I mean, they pitched 6 shutout innings after that, and they still won the game. They're 17-6. This team is 17-6 when he pitches and makes his starts, and that's the sign you want right there.
It's really incredible what he's been able to do, given, you know, some folks kind of wrote him off, and today was not the prettiest day, but nonetheless, the Brewers got the victory. I think the story, as I talked about earlier, the bullpen, obviously, and this is kind of a preview of what it could look like in the playoffs, right? Brian Hudson is the closer for the pitcher. Then you've got Pyomps finding his window of righties. Then you've got Jared Koenig, who got a window of lefties and forced a pinch hitter. Then you got McGill. Then you had Devin in the 10th. Now, Devin obviously would normally have the 9th, but the game was still tied. The fact that the Brewers used all of their leverage arms in this game one, we talked about it quite a bit watching the game together, Craig. That was Pat Murphy saying, I got to use these guys. I know I'm only going to get to use them for one game. Let's hope that the offense gets the job done. And the offense did leave some runs out there on the bases in game one. But the bullpen gave them a chance to win it in the 10th inning. And it was a story about timely offense in game one that does not happen without 6 shutout innings from the bullpen.
I think the great thing that good teams like this are afforded the luxury of, it's almost like saying, you know what, we're going to treat this game like a playoff game because we have a doubleheader coming up. So we have another game coming up in less than 2 hours after we end this one. But you can't build on good things unless you go for it and get that win in game one, and then you figure out what's going to happen in game two. But you can do that, and what it does is, in situations like this, it's almost exactly like a playoff game, Dom, and they're like, you know what? What if a playoff game would turn out to be Colin Ray only going 4 innings? Then what do we do after that? And the game's tight. It's close. It's tied. We're in it. We have a chance to win. So this is a great scenario, and it's all about setting yourself up for the postseason and not having the postseason come along and maybe A, not being ready, or B, just kind of flying by the seat of your pants. That's not how it's done. Not when you're good like this and you've been working 5 months to become an elite team. I mean, they're in that category here right now in the National League. So this worked out very nicely, and you can do those things because you can count on every one of those arms that you're calling upon out of the bullpen. And there'll be other situations like this. This is how you wrap things up and get things done. And the game one today was a very entertaining, fun game to watch, I thought.
I loved it. That felt really exciting. The Reds don't have much to play for these days. They're not in the playoff hunt. They're trying to give some chances for their young guys. We know Ellie De La Cruz is a star, and the Brewers have done a really good job of keeping him in check this whole season series, as a matter of fact. I know he had 3 hits in game one. He only scored once. He was caught stealing. He had a chance for some chaos to break out in that 7th inning against Pyomps, but Pyomps recovered and struck out Spencer Steer, which was quietly a massive moment at that point in the game. But for the Brewers to go with what they did, for instance, with Koenig he got some help from Garrett Mitchell. It was 2 feet away from a Ty France go-ahead homer in the eighth. Instead, he's thrown out at second base. Then he walks Reese Hines, and William Contreras picks him up by backpicking him to first base. It was truly a team game in game one. I know we give all the praise to the relievers, but don't look down, but there was that great top five defense in baseball showing their head once again.
Yeah, I haven't seen, and you're kind of talking about that eighth inning. It turned out to be a 1-2-3 eighth, and in that one, you know, Kanan gives up a base hit and a walk. So you don't get results that great very often, that's for sure. And I know you do this in some form or fashion because the guys talk about it on the air, and I do the same scoring my book. I don't remember the last time I had three consecutive basically stars or circles for great defensive plays in a row like that. And it was huge. You need that, though. You need that. And you have pitchers that are dominant and ones you can count on coming out of the bullpen. But, you know, part of the reason you can is because of the defense behind them. And man, that eighth inning was a thing of its own. It was kind of a game within the game, if you will. And, you know, the Brewers defense has been spectacular all year. They've over, even the few blunders they make, they've done a good job of overcoming those errors and limiting damage, that's for sure.
We'll talk about the offense in the next segment, but before we go there, I sit here and watch Devin Williams. The dude doesn't look like he missed 3 months with a back injury. He looks as sharp as ever. He owns the Reds, like he owns them. He's in his last 12 innings pitched, he is not allowed to hit against the Reds. He is 10 for 10 in converting saves. And even though the Brewers only scored one run at the top of the 10th inning, we talk about it all the time, you got to be able to score multiple runs when you're in extra innings. And they only scored one with Sal Frelick putting a ball in play. But to trust that Devin Williams is coming on, because when you only score one, the difficulty about that is the fact that, okay, well, the winning run's always going to be at the plate for the bottom of the 10th inning, and it's going to start with Elly De La Cruz, and Devin Williams striking him out on a changeup set the tone for that inning. And I don't know if I don't believe what I'm saying here. Like, don't take this out of context, but, like, we don't appreciate Devin Williams enough sometimes, because what he did today and what he did against the Dodgers and what he's done all year, I know he had the one blow-up against the Cardinals. This is not normal. Not normal at all. For him to just, yeah, no big deal, get through the frame. Yes, it was stressful, but he gets it done. And that's all that matters as a closer. Keep the zero on the board.
When he was out for as long as he was, Dom, I think there were a lot of people that were probably a little bit concerned. What's it going to be like when he comes back? Because he's missed so much time. And, you know, McGill had 20 saves, you know, in his spot. The several other Brewer relievers had saves along the way too while he was out. So the big question is, how are you going to use him when he comes back? And every time you ever asked anybody, you know, with authority within the organization that has anything to do with making major decisions, it's like, we're putting him in the closer role. I mean, this guy, you know, they have all the confidence in the world, and as history says, he's going to come in and do this. That's it. So I think the thing with Devin, though, you know, he's just going to be a guy that comes in quietly. He's a quiet guy. He just pitches loudly, I guess, when it's save time situation. And he's just somebody you can count on so much. And there is a lot of pressure on him, but he doesn't show it. Maybe he embraces it. I think some closers embrace that as well. So 5 of his 7 saves are in one run games too. That doesn't get any more. You don't feel the pressure any more than that. So you have slim leads, and you go out there and do your job, and he has not missed a beat, obviously, since last year. There's no doubt about that.
It's been super impressive for Devin Williams once again. And again, he struck out 24 of his last 36 outs against the Reds over the last 2+ seasons. A couple of texts here. I feel a sweep. The Reds are bad, and to me, the Brewers have the deepest outfield in the NL, maybe the fastest outfield we've seen in years. The Phillies are now feeling the pressure. Now, I'm going to miss Willie Adames. This guy puts up MVP numbers. Let's get him a ring. That one from Doug. This one, the true test of the season comes in September when they play 10 games in a row against the Phillies, sandwiched by games against the Red Hot Diamondbacks. I agree, that 10-game stretch is going to be massive. But the Brewers won tonight. They won a doubleheader sweep 2-0 against the Reds to start off this four-game and three-day stretch. We'll talk about the offense from Game Run after the break here on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Dom Petronio, Craig Kishon with you until the top of the hour, reacting to a doubleheader sweep over the Reds. Fun night at Great American Ballpark, spoiling the fireworks night on the riverfront. Craig, let's talk about the offense of Game 1, then we'll take another break and shift gears to talk about Game 2. Because Game 1, it was a late-arriving offense. It wasn't a pretty offense, really, for the Brew Crew, but today, a little bit of history. This alludes to what happened in Game 2. Here's the list of Brewers teammates who have both homered in both games of a doubleheader. It was only happened one other time. Robin Yount and Rob Deer back in 1989 as members of the AL against the White Sox. And then today, both Willy Adames and William Contreras went yard in the doubleheader. Now, Williams came off a position player, so Willy can hold that off on top of him. But nonetheless, both of them surpass round numbers. Willie, he's got 26 homers now. We talk about 25. Three 25 homer seasons as a Brewer shortstop. That's super impressive. William Contreras now with 20 homers. That's one shy of his career high, and there's still a little less than a month to go. Those two guys are going to be carrying the load here without Christian Yelich. And another texter astutely notes, this offense hasn't skipped a beat with Yelich being out. And those are the two guys that are going to be in the center of it.
Well, it didn't really take too long for them to figure out how to get things working without Yelich, and I think there were a lot of contributing factors with it, but I think we're clearly seeing the two guys that are leading this team. They are at the forefront, Contreras and Adames. There's no question about that, and you know they're right now both in a groove that you just have to feel so good about what can happen, you know, moving forward here once we move into the month of September. Time's going to go fast. They've got a big lead. They're eyeing up, you know, still some big things. We've already talked about that as far as getting ready for the playoffs. And you got, if you got these two guys leading the way, I don't know what you want to call them for a new nickname, but it doesn't matter to me right now because, you know, William and Willie, that's all that matters to me. I know who you're talking about. Everybody knows who you're talking about. And if they're going to continue to deliver and put up big highlights like this, this team's going to go places. And you need more than one guy to do it. And maybe, you know, with the loss of Yelich, it opened the door for a few guys. You know, sometimes when one door closes, another one opens up. And it can open up in a form like this where maybe we didn't quite expect to see these two, you know, all of a sudden go on a power surge. And you know, Dom, they're capable of continuing this. They've done it before, and you hit the home stretch here now, and good things can happen.
Good round numbers right now for Wild Bill. He's got 34 doubles, 20 homers, 80 driven in. That surpasses his career high and runs batted in as well for William Contreras. He's got a 362 on base, a 475 slug. That's for the season. That's not just for the month. This dude's playing like an MVP candidate. But from Game 1 as well, another couple guys that we're going to shout out here, and we're going to talk about them again in Game 2, Garrett Mitchell. Garrett Mitchell had a really good day at the plate overall. I mean, the center field position overall today had a great day, given Garrett had a double and a run scored in the fourth inning. He had an infield hit. Then Perkins came in. He got a hit as well. The Brewers, I mean, I talked about it a couple of nights ago. Blake Perkins is my starting center fielder in the playoffs. The decision is, what are you going to do in right field with Garrett Mitchell or Sal Frelick? Because, man, Perkins and Mitchell had themselves quite the day today, the last few days, quite frankly. And I just sit here and look at it that the Brewers have, like, their best players right now are their switch-hitting journeyman center fielder Blake Perkins, you know, in the outfield this is, and Jackson Churio, who's 20 years old. Like, that hasn't sunk in yet, that the Yankees and the Nationals didn't want Blake Perkins, and the Brewers have found a way to make him a stud. And, oh, by the way, this lineup is also being led off by a 20-year-old.
Right, and if that 20-year-old, Dom, can't play for another game or two, You know, Mitchell right now is hitting his stride at a perfect time. And this just goes along with the depth of that outfield. I think it was only a matter of time before we started to see who is Sal Frelick going to be. Is he going to hit some home runs for you? Is he going to hit in the gap? Nope, we figured out who he is right now. He figures out a way to wear down pitching and figures out a way to get on base, even if it's two outs. He's helped lead this brigade of this team leading the league in two-out RBIs. And then you got Mitchell. You've been waiting for the power to come, and now in the last couple of days, he's really showing it off. Now, here's the thing. Frelick's, you know, kind of been a lock in one of those outfield spots. I'm telling you, though, if Mitchell gets hot and starts hitting triples and doubles and home runs, I mean, he may win that spot back. But if Churio needs some days, too, this depth here right now between all these guys that we're talking about is tremendous. And you talk about just, you know, what do you do when a guy goes down? I get the next man up type thing, but the depth here, these guys are ready. That's the great thing about it. They're ready to go. And Mitchell has opened up my eyes the last couple of days. I will say that.
I'm never going to let go of my Garrett Mitchell stock because of that speed and power combination that he possesses. But I don't want to sell Sal short because he had two RBIs to tie the game, or at least take the lead, I should say, in the fourth inning. Then he had the go-ahead ball driven in. He doesn't get an RBI for the double play he hit into in the 10th. But he said something very interesting over on your network to Sophia Minnert in the post-game interview, saying, look, I understood the situation there. Men on the corners, I needed to make sure I elevated the ball, and I could not strike out. They were playing the infield back. I had to make sure I put the ball in play. Sal Frelick does that better than anybody on the team. He puts the ball in play, takes the humble approach. Is it pretty sometimes? No. Does he have the bright red sliders on Baseball Savant and the dazzling exit velocity? No. But Sal Frelick is arguably the main reason the Brewers won that game in game one of this doubleheader, and nothing was hit terribly hard. He had a clean line drive single in the right center to score two when the Brewers needed it, and he did fundamental baseball. He put the ball in play in the 10th inning and handed the ball to Devin Williams in the bottom of the 10th. Boom, blouses. That's exactly how he draw it up, and not everybody needs to hit 110-mile-an-hour home runs on screaming liners. Having a complimentary player like Sal Frelick is super valuable still for the Crew.
Well, I can say this. I don't think he does anything great, but I think he does everything good. And if you're doing everything good and you're doing everything well and you're doing everything smart, you don't need to be great at certain things. That makes you a great player. And I think we're seeing that. You need a guy like this on your team that you can count on. Let's just say that. No matter where he is in the lineup, doesn't matter if he's even coming in. To me, I still say what he does to fight his way on base in so many times with two outs, it just says to the team, hey, I did all this work to get on base. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to leave me out here? Are you going to bring me home? And they figure out a way to keep things going and to continue to pass the baton. Sometimes it all starts with him. And, of course, you can count on him in the outfield as well. But he's pesky. He's speedy. He's got enough of everything that makes him a big leaguer, and right now he fits in perfectly with his team.
He's a great piece to have in the bottom half of the order, a tough at-bat, hard to strike out, good ball strike. I really like what this outfield is doing right now for the Crew. And he plays good defense, which is always a big key for the Brewers, which he did in Game 1. The Brewers get the victory in Game 1, 5-4. Game two will be a lot easier to talk about. We'll talk about that coming up next because, well, it was a blowout, at least in final score. It wasn't so much for the middle portion of this game, but D.L. Hall was the headline of game two. We'll talk about him and his future coming up next. Brewers win a doubleheader on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
A couple of texts that have rolled in here. I'm Dominic Catronio. Thanks for joining us. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620 here on the program. This one, what an amazing year. I really hope Murph gets Manager of the Year for what he's done for this team. What are your thoughts as we get toward the end of the season? What do you like? What could be a little bit better? What can we grind our way to the postseason? Yeah, Murph's manager of the year. If he's not, I am going to write a sternly worded letter to the Baseball Writers Association of America. Like, what the heck are you watching? 23 games above 500. Real quick, before we talk about game two, Craig, I mean, let it sink in for a second. This team traded Corbin Burns, doesn't have Brandon Woodruff. Devin Williams wasn't available for 3 months. They're starting a rookie, 20-year-old rookie in the leadoff spot. They're having multiple sophomores. They had a rookie start game two of this doubleheader today. They had 17 different starting pitchers. Dallas Keuchel pitched for this team earlier this year. They've had so many injuries. It goes on and on and on. This team is the best team in the division, and they're a top three team in the National League because everybody saw this coming as we wake up tomorrow on August 31st, the Brewers having the same record as the Phillies for the second seed in the National League.
It's pretty crazy stuff, isn't it? But the constant is the manager. And look, whether most of those guys that we talked about would not have been traded away or would not have mostly been injured, that's been the biggest thing, to be honest with you. This team would still be a Pat Murphy-led team. This team would still be, in my opinion, a contender the way it is now. You could say even more so, but it doesn't even matter because look where they are now with the team that they've assembled, that the guys that they've asked to step in, the guys they've traded for, the guys that have emerged, the guys they've counted on. One guy has to be the voice, and he's done a great job of it. And these guys have answered. These guys respect him. They want to play for him. Every guy will tell you this. Every player, if you talk to them about Murph, they all say very similar things. And it all comes down to the respect that they have for him. And you want to play the game because it's fun to play. And they're having a damn good time with him leading the way. He lets them do stuff that maybe they couldn't do in the past. And that's part of having some fun and playing and maybe learning from mistakes if there's mistakes along the way and being given second chances, all that stuff. So it's been tremendous. He's been, you know, I wasn't sure what was going to happen when they named a manager. I don't think anybody quite knew what was going to happen, but you saw it building in spring training and what they've done over the 5 and 6 months that they've been together. It has been nothing short of spectacular, that's for sure. And he definitely, definitely should be manager of the year.
I agree. I don't think it's a debate, even with a month ago. And Mike Schilt, I respect what he's been doing. It's been impressive. But look, sorry, someone's been a little bit better, and that's A-OK. Okay, game two. I know the final score said 14-0, Craig. This game was close for a little while, and there was debate about what to do in the final two innings. And let's lay out, though, the conundrum that the Brewers faced heading into this game. We talked about them using the leverage bullpen in game one. That meant, in theory, the only guys you had available for game two were Joe Ross and Bryce Wilson. Now, with all due respect to both of those guys, they have not thrown in leverage really this season. So you're going to have to ask them to do something they haven't done this season if DL Hall or the offense didn't perform. Well, lucky for them, the Brewers got both out of those performances. And DL Hall turned in the best start of his professional career today. 7 shutout innings. He's never completed 7 innings ever, minor leagues or big leagues. Here he is, Craig, and I thought he pitched well the last time the Brewers saw the Reds here at home. It was a roster crunch sending him down to AAA, but you get an extra guy in your pitching staff starting on Sunday. Quite frankly, the way I took DL Hall's performance today was, I'm supposed to be here. I'm healthy. I'm ready. You traded for me. You wanted me. Now you're going to get me, and I'm going to show you why you want to keep me today. And if I don't know if he would say that, but that's the message I got from DL Hall today because, dang it, that dude better be pitching in the big leagues in September.
Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of times with players, you just don't know how good they're going to be until they're given a chance to succeed at this level. And he's been injured here. He's had a little bit of success, but he hasn't had a lot of opportunities. And it took him a while to get back to 100%. We all know his storyline all season long. Did his minor league starts and whatnot. He belongs in the big leagues. He should be pitching here right now. And I think he's finally realized that right now. And he knows what to do with his mind and his body. And I think all these things are are clicking here, but you're not going to be successful until you come to this game and you're successful. And today was his coming out party. I don't think there's any question about that. And, you know, great for him, man. He's found his way to somehow make Pat Murphy, make Matt Arnold, and a few others make some decisions. And this is what you want to do at this time of year. And you know, if he can keep going the way he was going today, this team's going to be in great shape. He's going to have a great future. He was impressive. There's no doubt. He was confident. I don't care who the opponent was. You have to figure out a way to succeed and go through everything. And he's finally done that. And then today was like, you know what? I feel like a big leaguer. I'm pitching like a big leaguer. I'm succeeding like a big leaguer. I won tonight as a big leaguer.
Let's talk about what made him so successful today compared to maybe the guy we saw earlier in the year. Number one, the velo was there. The velo, it ticked down at the end, and I saw some folks asking, why not just send him back out for the eighth inning? Well, the velo was down to 92 in that last inning, and, you know, that's kind of like, all right, he's definitely out of gas. It's a hot day. He's done enough. Joe Ross should be able to handle a four-run lead for the final two frames. But that was certainly encouraging. Also, attacking the zone, getting strikes specifically. Didn't really get first pitch strikes, but he was able to battle back to get 1-1 counts, to get quick outs as well. Wasn't afraid to compete in the zone. But for me, and we were watching the game together, Craig, and we said the same thing, the changeup. I was so impressed with the changeup today. Folks had said, you know, the velo is something, but he's not a guy that has, like, darling movement on his changeup. It's just a traditional choke it, change up, it never gets to the plate, you see the fastball, and then surprise, you're swinging way out in front, and it's still slowing down. It's like that Bugs Bunny pitch, you know, it's just slowly coming to you. You think it's a heater, you can swing three times, and it still doesn't get to the plate. 0-for-8 against the changeup today were the Reds for D.L. Hall. To have his secondaries working the way they were today, I thought was the major key to his success.
Yeah, they were working well because, in my opinion, he was attacking the zone over and over and over again. You know, he wanted to go after it, and I think that's great. You hear often how guys, when they're first starting out in the league, they're just sometimes not attacking the zone, and I thought he did that with all of his pitches today. And if the changeup is going to be his key pitch, he certainly took a big leap with that tonight. There's no doubt about that. So, you know, and to be able to go out there and have, you know, look, his manager, Pat Murphy, spoke to him in the middle of the game. You don't see that very often. They had a conversation, and whatever that was, D.L. Hall was shaking his head yes, understood what was going on, and went out there and executed. And it was really a great thing to see, and gave you a pretty good glimpse of what this guy can bring to this organization.
I'm really excited. Go six-man rotation, go tandem days, whatever it takes, because he deserves a shot to audition himself to be on this postseason roster when the Brewers get to that point. Another guy we got to talk about here before I let you go, Rhys Hoskins. Rhys, I mean, I talked about it on yesterday's Brewers Weekly. I had a great conversation with him about hitting and what he's going through, what he's seeing, that sort of thing, and that he made it clear, like, it sucks to not be playing well when the team is playing well, because you feel like you're just kind of the one guy that just isn't contributing, and it just sucks to suck. Those were his own words. But it sounds crazy, but he wasn't that far off, and today I thought proved he's right. He wasn't that far off. He had a homer robbed in game one, and then he finally goes yard, a two-out, two-run homer to add some insurance late in this game. He had a really good game, too, today with that two-run home run in a game that he didn't even start, mind you. He also had an RBI single in the ninth inning to add some insurance, still against Zulueta, a regular pitcher. For Rhys to have this kind of a game, finally say, oh, okay, yes, that's the guy I know, because the Brewers need to get Rhys Hoskins going in September, heading into the postseason, to really feel like their lineup is one of the most dangerous in the National League.
Yes, and yes, his average, you would like to see it climb a little bit and just get to a point where he's just more comfortable and consistent. But I think the other thing about Rhys is, and I know when you talked to him the other day, you just know that he understands things so well because he's been around long enough to every baseball player goes through the things that he has gone through, you know, more than once so far this year. And for whatever that is, if it's because he was out injured all last year, he's on a new team, whatever it is, a lot of that stuff is true. But he's kept his cool. He's kept his confidence. And he hasn't tried to do too much to change things either and become somebody he's not. And I think that's the great part. When he got robbed of that home run today, you know, we've been around baseball to know those are the off the radar things that get guys going. And I really felt when I saw that in game one today, I'm like, okay, what more can this guy do? He doesn't need to do anything more. He just needs to swing just like he swung there. Okay, that one wasn't out, but guess what? You're going to make more outs. And he was determined, I think, to get a home run in tonight's game, and he let one rip, and to get, you know, another RBI single after that as well. I mean, he's going to be fine. Reese just needs to come up with big hits in the big moments for this team, and at times this season he has not been able to deliver. And I know that's upsetting to him, but I think he's going to, you know, he's going to be able to turn it around. I'd be shocked if this guy in the final month in the playoffs was not a major factor in where the Brewers are going.
Home run number 22 on the season for Reese Hoskins. Well, Greg, we appreciate your time as always. Enjoy the day tomorrow, given it's with our television friends on Fox tomorrow. So enjoy the brief Labor Day weekend that you get. We'll talk to you again Sunday.
All right, sounds good, Dom. Take care.
Craig Kishon here on WTMJ. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy. Also highlights from both games coming up here on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Want to remind you, Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. And they offer 5% off service for veterans and seniors all year long. Make sure to mention this offer when you're scheduling your appointment. Visit Sider.com today. That's Seider.com. Families helping families since 1912. So this is the audio from Pat Murphy after game two of this doubleheader. He also mentioned in game one they don't think anything serious with Jackson Chourio's rolled ankle. Not a fracture, but they will learn more when he wakes up tomorrow. But here he is after game two of a massive doubleheader sweep over the Reds.
What does DL Hall for you then do in the second game?
Yeah, he was great. I mean, he was great. And, you know, I respect the heck out of the Reds. I do. I don't care what the record is any day. I look at it as a war every time we go to war. And this one got out of hand runs-wise, but it was about a 1-0 game until it went. I don't know what inning, but DL was magnificent. And again, I got to mention Eric Haas, the job he did working together. Haas doesn't play that much, but there's a reason we have him on the club. And tonight's it. He really jockeyed him in so he'd stay in the money. That's horse racing.
Thank you. So, kind of boxing analogy for today.
Well, I probably will throw one of those in there too. But, you know, yeah, a lot of great performances, but, you know, DL sticks out. And Joe Ross came in and threw the ball well, too. So, but, yeah, that helps some. You know, when you have a game like this, your bullpen's going to be depleted. We came in with our bullpen, you know, reeling a little bit. So, you know, until tomorrow. But pleased with a lot of great performances today. And, you know, Perkins on base, I think, five times. And Hoskins getting the pinch hit, come in and get a homer and a single, both which, you know, helped us a bunch. But, yeah, Mitchell had a nice day. And like I said, Terang on base, or Perkins on base five times, Terang on base three times. You know, you're going to win a lot of games when your top two guys are on base eight times. So, Frelick snuck in three hits. And, you know, Adamas another three-run homer.
Crazy.
But our defense is always pretty steady, so that was good to see. But, yeah, it's a great performance by DL, you know, especially all he's been through. You know, that was a great performance.
You know, there have been flashes from him at points in spring and during the season, but did you feel like it was maybe the first time that you saw it all put together and what it's supposed to look like?
Well, it was a unbelievable pitching performance against a good offensive club, and that knows us. You know what I mean? And anyways.
And you had four stolen bases.
Yeah, we do that. Yeah, we do that. That can hopefully disrupt the other team a little bit. You know, it disrupts the pitcher more than it disrupts anybody. You know what I mean? So they start moving faster, and then maybe their pitches aren't as effective. But anyway, yeah, we always do that kind of stuff. When we get thrown out a lot, too, now. But, yeah, I was really pleased. Really pleased with, you know, early on, we're a little sluggish, whatever. I think Bowers thought, I don't know what he was thinking there, but, you know, all due respect, we do bunt a lot, so maybe he thought he'd join the party. Ill-advised.
Did you see enough of this kid that started for them to form any first impressions? Louder?
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously going to be fine. You know, I think he showed me at least three pitches and showed me poise, and he's obviously a really good athlete. So,
Murph, overall, that's 15 consecutive scoreless innings from your staff today.
Oh, really?
Six from the bullpen, and then obviously now with game two. I mean, just that kind of effort, right? And
huge today, especially a day like today, as hot as it is. These guys, you know, they do that. They rise to the occasion often, you know, as depleted as we are. You know, I wish we had Yelly. You know what I mean? Like, he's just such a force offensively. He's leading the league in hitting. You know, you lose a guy like that, and these guys have band together a little bit, and I think it's pretty cool.
With an outing like that from DL, does he force himself into your plans a little differently, a little more?
I think so. You know, like, don't you? I mean, his last start wasn't bad either, you know. Yeah, he showed me a lot. Seven innings, two hitters, two hits, you know, and I don't know, did he walk anybody?
One walk.
Yeah, I think he's in everybody's plans. You know what I mean? You see him today, So,
how would that work? Six guys, even with the off days, and just sort of let everybody.
I don't know, Adam. That's for you to figure out. Yeah, come on, we haven't even discussed it. We just come off the field. I don't know what we're.
Plot thickens. Deal with that tomorrow.
Mark, how was the
Churio
report?
Seems favorable, but you know, when the first time you sprain your ankle ever, you don't know what to expect. It's a little weird. I think he got a little spooked by it. When it first turned like that, felt like it kind of comes out of the socket or whatever. But once he got up and moving around and he felt better and better, he treated it in between games in case he had to play. But the real test will be tomorrow. I'll see how he feels when he comes in the morning. So we'll know in the morning.
All right. More news to come on Jackson Churio. We'll see if he's in the lineup tomorrow night against the Redlegs. Highlights, lot to get to. Two games worth, in fact, coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Gone!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Doubleheader action on a hot day from Cincinnati. Game one, Nick Martinez for the Reds, Colin Ray for the Brew Crew. But it was the Reds jumping out to a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the first. Have no fear, you're going to hear this name a lot, Willie Adames at the plate.
No balls and a strike on Adames. Martinez brings home the pitch, and it's a high fly ball deep left field. Steer racing back at the track. It is gone. Willie Adames with his 25th of the season, and the Brewers have tied it at one.
Quick call there from Lane Grindle as the Brewers even it up, and he wouldn't be done on the day. However, though, in the bottom of the second inning, the Reds would respond with two more of their own, an Espinal solo homer, and then an RBI single from De La Cruz. So it's 3-1 now as we move along to the fourth inning. Brewers led off that frame with William Contreras.
Hope you're having a great Friday wherever you might be tuned in. The beginning of your Labor Day. Will Friedel back, track, wall. He won't get this, baby. It's in the seats. Opposite field home run, William Contreras.
Josh Maurer on the call as the Brewers then were within one run at the time. They weren't done in the frame. The next batter, Adames, he had a clean single. Then Mitchell, he ripped a double to right. second and third and nobody out, but they wouldn't be able to score with the next two batters. It was up to Sal Frelick.
The one. Frelick lines it into right center field. That's in for a base hit, and the Brewers will take the lead. Scoring from third, Adamas Mitchell right behind him. No throw to the plate. It's a two-run single by Sal Frelick. What a pick-me-up that was, and the Brewers in front 4-3 in the fourth.
Well, that lead wouldn't last long either because Jonathan India would hit a game-tying solo homer to chase Colin Ray in the fifth inning, but that would be the last run the Reds would score today. They handed it over to the leverage bullpen for the Brewers. Brian Hudson, he got six outs, no problem. Yoel Piamps, he got all three outs he needed to get, leaving a man stranded at third. Jared Koenig got some help from his defense, but he had a three-up, three-down inning. But the Brewers' offense wasn't managing much better either. This game would go to extra innings. In the top of the 10th, a double play scored the only one for the Brewers with the place runner, and it was up to Devin Williams in the bottom of the 10th inning to keep a zero on the board. He struck out De La Cruz, Steer popped out, Friedel walked, and then Ty France, the last hitter.
Williams has a new ball in the sign. 3-2 pitch again. Swung on and flied shallow into right field. Sal Frelick is coming in and over towards the line in fair territory, makes the catch. Brewers win it. Devin Williams able to escape in the 10th. And an extra inning victory to start this busy weekend in Cincinnati.
What a win for the Crew. They take game one by a 5-4 final score. Oh, we're not done with the highlights. We got more, baby. Another whole game getting ready to go here. Another hour later, the Brewers are ready for game two. This was a little slower start. D.L. Hall against Rhett Lauder, his big league debut. We picked things up in the fourth inning. As you know, it always seems to be with two outs for the Crew.
One pitch, line drive towards third. It eats up Marte on a short hop. It kicks off his glove in a shallow left center field. Rounding third, Mitchell. De La Cruz backs it up, throws home. Garrett Mitchell slides in safely. Nelly De La Cruz backing up that play that went off the third baseman's glove. Jason Lane, the third base coach, an aggressive send for Mitchell. And he is ruled safe at home. The Brewers lead it 1-0.
Sal gets the RBI. Garrett with the great heads-up base running. Garrett decided to do it with his bat later in the sixth.
Carson Spires takes over on the mound. First pitch swinging for Garrett Mitchell. High drive, left center field, back, and to the track. It is gone. An opposite field home run for Garrett Mitchell. He's starting to heat up, folks. His fourth of the year, and the Brewers lead it 2-0.
Meanwhile, the Brewers getting great pitching from D.L. Hall. More from him in the moment. Looking for some insurance with a 2-0 lead. Hall still on the mound, heading for the bottom of the seventh. But first, Reese Hoskins came to the plate.
1-0 pitch. Drilled to the left. Hoskins put a charge into it. Back to the fence she goes. Goodbye. Two runs, screaming home run by Reese Hoskins to double the lead in the seventh inning. 4-0 Brewers.
D.L. Hall would go 7 shutout after that. And let's get some more insurance, shall we? How about a 10-run ninth highlighted by Willie Adames?
2-2 pitch, high fly ball, left field. Racing back his steer at the track wall. Bye-bye baseball, an exclamation point in Cincinnati.
Willie Adames, his 11th three-run homer of the year. The Brewers would score 10 and win 14-0. They're now tied for second in the National League for their record. Back tomorrow, 6:15, first pitch. We're on the air at 5 with Brewers warm-up. I'm out of time here tonight. My thanks to our producer, Matt Yazel. I'm Dominic Catronio. We'll see you next time. Until then, keep on swinging.